If you have your Bibles tonight, you can turn to Luke chapter 1. It is true, the signs of Christmas are for sure all around us. Tomorrow is Christmas Day. There's the Christmas music that's been playing. If your car, anything like ours, it's been playing all the time. The Christmas decorations are up, have been up. We even have snow. From the inside, not having to deal with the wind and the cold, the snow just makes everything more beautiful, doesn't it? Especially at this time of year. The tree is up and likely gifts already scattered around it. Though in our family, we like to wait. Under the tree right now, virtually nothing. But tomorrow morning, there will for sure be a bunch. That's our tradition. We wait until Christmas morning before letting the kids see all the presents that are under the tree. Another sign of the season, probably. The Christmas traditions that have already begun and will continue, of course, through tomorrow. The music, the decorations, the family gatherings, the opening of gifts. We sure enjoy, we value those things, we love those things. It's true, they are certainly a part of Christmas and especially a part in making Christmas to be, as we call it, the most wonderful time of the year. And yet, though absolutely loving all that that makes up the Christmas season, we would for sure recognize the real reason for it all, Jesus. God in flesh appearing. Wow, the thought of that, right? Think of it for a moment. That God came down into a broken humanity and did what only He could do. Coming down to this earth, becoming one of us. God Himself becoming one of us so that He could deliver us. So that He could save us from our sin. One writes this. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. But since our greatest need was forgiveness, God sent us a Savior. Aren't you glad that He did? On this Christmas Eve, as we prepare to celebrate tomorrow, the day of His birth, aren't you glad that God sent to us the very thing that we needed the most? Aren't you glad that God sent to us His one and only Son? Aren't you glad that God came down and became for us the Savior from our sin? Listen, for sure this is true. Even if nothing else is, Christmas reminds us that when God comes down, oh, it makes all the difference in the world. When God comes down, the supernatural, the miraculous happens. When God comes down, salvation comes. When God comes down, everything changes. Part of the Christmas story, we read of Zechariah and Elizabeth, who no doubt had prayed all of their marriage, virtually for all of their lives then, had prayed for a child, only to find that Elizabeth was barren and that they couldn't have a child until that day in the temple. An angel announcing God had heard their prayer and they would have a son. God came down, and when He did and when He does, the impossible becomes possible. The dead and barren womb comes alive again. The miraculous occurs, and there's life when God comes down. The wise men, they followed his star from the east. God came down, and the wise men saw what no one else saw. They saw the glory of God in the heavens from hundreds of miles away. It's true. Listen, when God comes down, we see what human eyes don't see. We see what human eyes can't see. Joseph, by way of four dreams, is given divine guidance and direction. Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Joseph, it's time to leave. Herod's coming. You've got to get out, Joseph. And then, Joseph, you can go home now. Herod's gone. It's safe again. Joseph, I don't want you to go back to where you came from. I want you to go here. I want you to live here. When God comes down, listen, he leads us. He guides us, aware of things, aware of circumstances, aware of events that we could never possibly know. He directs our steps. When God comes down, extraordinary things happen. And this is the awesome wonder of Christmas. God came down. And on this Saturday evening, listen, this is true. God comes down. He is Emmanuel after all, right? This is the message of the prophet. His name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. When God came down then in Bethlehem, wow, all that happened. But the best news of Christmas, because he's Emmanuel, he comes down to this place, here and now, tonight, and wow, the things he would do in us and for us, the way that he would work, all that he would make happen for us. From Luke chapter 1, from the life, from the story of Mary, let me share with you just a few thoughts. First, this: when God comes down, he comes to show us his favor. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 28, we read this: the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Maybe the best way to think of God's favor is to consider it in the context of this definition. It's his excessive kindness. When God comes down, he comes to show you that. His favor. His excessive kindness. Remember, he's Emmanuel, which means he's God with us, which means God has come down to be with us in this room tonight. And listen, here it is. No matter what you thought, God would come to this place to bring to you, to reveal to you, to speak to you. Here it is from the story of Mary. This is it. He comes here tonight to this room. He comes to you tonight to show you his favor, to show you his excessive kindness. In Psalm 119 and 68, we read simply this: God is good, and what he does is good. When God comes down, he comes to show you that. He comes to show you his goodness. How good is it to know that? Listen, understand this tonight. Believe this tonight. Never doubt it. Never question it. God desires to do good for you. This is his desire. This is his heart, to show you his goodness. God wants to do that for each of us. Sometimes he does it directly. A good bit of the time, he uses people. That's the beauty of community. That's the beauty of the church family, that God uses us to be his hands extended. God uses us to be his voice, speaking words of life and encouragement. God uses us to reveal to others through us his goodness. With that, can I challenge you in this? Again, look at it in verse 28. The angel went to Mary and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." It's true, in one sense, there's a common grace whereby everyone experiences the favor of God. His excessive kindness, His goodness in some measure, some common sort of measure. At the same time, there is a favor that comes from God with you. There's a favor that comes from walking close to God, opening your heart to God. Scripture says it this way, draw near to Him. Do you know it? And He will draw near to you. You do that. And whether you hear it audibly from the angel or not, as it was with Mary, so it will be with you. The Lord is with you. You are favored. You are highly favored by Him. You do that. You walk close to Him, ever closer to Him. Open your heart. Open more and more and more your heart to Him. You draw near to Him so that He can draw near to you. And in that, you will experience His excessive kindness. You will experience His goodness in the most uncommon, in the most supernatural kind of way, the most extravagant kind of way, when God comes down. When He does, how about this? He comes to remove all fear. In verse 28, again, the angel to Mary, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at His words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." In a sense, really, it's part of experiencing God's excessive kindness. It's part of experiencing God's goodness. Listen, God's favor in part does this, dispels all fear. Don't we need that today? People are filled with fear, filled with anxiety, depressed at a rate, worried, fearful at a rate like we've never seen before. Statistics showing numbers into the 50 and 60% range of young people in their 20s filled with anxiety, filled with depression. It's slightly lower for folks over 30, but still only slightly. We're afraid. We're depressed probably because we have so much to be afraid of. We're afraid of what might happen to our country, to the economy. We're afraid the direction things are going. We're afraid what war might start next. We're afraid. We're all the time afraid. And listen, it wears on us. Listen, that will wear on you. The fear beginning to depress us, make us anxious. That we feel on the inside that unsettles us. There's a sense where there might be from you tonight a response that says, "But Pastor, have you seen the world out there? Of course we're afraid. Of course we're worried. All of us are. Of course we're filled with anxiety. Look at what's happening. Look at what's going on out there." Oh, but listen to me, dear brother. Listen to me, sister. When God comes down, when God comes into a situation, His words, "Don't be afraid." In fact, when He comes not only to dispel fear, but to bring peace. That's what His favor does. The angels proclaimed that in their announcement to the shepherds. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." Listen, in the midst of problems, do you have problems tonight? In the midst of problems, God comes down. And in the midst of the problems, listen now, when God comes down, fear is pushed out and peace can come. Peace can fill our hearts and fill our minds as we set our hearts and minds on Him. In the midst of family crisis, in the midst of world chaos, there's definitely the latter. Is there the former for you? Are you experiencing some family crisis? In the midst even of that, listen, God comes down, and in the midst even of the crisis and the chaos, we have peace because He does. In the midst of the doctor's office and the doctor's diagnosis, in the midst of emergency room waiting, has there been that for you? Some emergency room visits of late? Will you celebrate this Christmas with a doctor's diagnosis that you would rather not have? Listen, God comes down. And in the midst even of that, all that, we have peace because He does. Peace that comes from knowing He's good and what He does is good. Peace that comes from knowing He's all powerful. Peace that comes from knowing He's all knowing. Peace that comes from knowing He is the sovereign God. Peace that comes from knowing He is the Lord and there is none like Him. There's none above Him. Peace that comes from knowing He is able and He is willing to work in us and for us more than able and surely willing to help us and to strengthen us and to sustain us. Peace that comes from knowing He goes before us and that He is in fact as well our rear guard and in fact protects us on all sides. Peace that comes from knowing He's with us. Peace that comes from knowing He's come down. And because He has, He, even in the midst of the trouble, even in the midst of the difficulty, the crisis and the chaos, the worrisome report, the fearful diagnosis, He, even in the midst of all that, will show us His goodness, will show us His excessive kindness, His favor, and He will give to us peace, His peace. God comes down. Listen now tonight. He's Emmanuel, remember. God comes to this room, into your situation, whatever your situation. And He dispels, He pushes out all fear. And He gives to you His peace. His peace that passes all understanding. His peace, listen now. That no situation, no trouble, no problem, no thing of this world can touch or take away. God comes down. When He does, He shows to you and to me His favor. He takes from you and me all our fear, brings to you and me His peace, and He does for us the miraculous. Listen, this is true. God loves to do that is impossible for us. Do you have that in your life? The difficulty, the situation where you're inclined to respond? That's impossible. Get the dream job? That's impossible. Get out of the debt? That's impossible. Be healthy, medicine-free, pain-free? That's impossible. Be free from the worry, free from the fear, the anxiety, the depression? That's impossible. Listen now, God loves to come down and to meet with you and to do for you the very thing you thought impossible to do. He loves to do the supernatural. He loves to work the miraculous for us. He loves to show Himself strong on our behalf. Look at it in verse 31. You will be with child and will give birth to a son. You're to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. It really is true. This, the birth of Jesus, the story of Jesus, the life of Jesus, it's miraculous from start to finish. It's miracle after miracle after miracle, and here it's really the message to Mary. Mary, miracles do happen. God does the miraculous. Mary, God is about to do a miracle. God is about to do a miraculous thing in you and through you. Mary asks, how will this be? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. Listen, when God comes down into your life, into your situation, he comes to do the miraculous so that your testimony is as Elizabeth's was. Here's how things used to be, but now here's how things are. Here's how it used to be for me, but now here's how it is. I used to be called barren, but now there's life that's come. I used to have nothing, but now I have everything. Hasn't God done that for you in salvation, the miraculous? Wasn't it said of you, a sinner, but the miraculous has happened. He's washed your sins away. He's clothed you in the righteousness of Jesus. You used to be, but now you're a saint, purified, sanctified. He calls you his child. Hasn't God done that for you in life? The miraculous, whatever was said of you, it's not the way it is anymore. The miraculous has happened. God has come down. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 37, the summation of it all, if you will, for nothing is impossible with God. It's the miraculous, the powerful, the supernatural thing. It's the thing only God can do. Only God can save you. Only God can help you. Only God can deliver you. Only God can do the supernatural. Only God can do the impossible thing for you. Only God can do the miraculous for you. You know, sometimes I think we tend to forget that. We forget who he is. And what he can do and what he does do. We focus so much on our problems. Really, in effect, we have a tendency to make our problems to be bigger even than our God. And we say, worse maybe, we question whether or not God can even help us because our problem is so big. We forget that nothing is impossible with him. Listen to me, brother. Listen to me, sister. Nothing is impossible with him. It really is true. We need to fix our eyes more and better on Jesus. Listen, this is the truth tonight. I don't mean to sound insensitive to what you're going through, but you have to hear me. Think your problem is big? No way. Listen, your God is big. Think your problem is great? Forget about it. Your God is great. We fix our eyes on him. We invite him into our situation. We let him come down into our situation so that then, his supernatural power can begin to work in our lives and change everything then for us. Listen, if you're in an impossible situation, where you would say, where it could be said, where it could be said and would be true of you, of your circumstances. Nothing in this world, no power of man able to rescue you. It's impossible. Listen. Oh, but God has come down, and nothing's too difficult for him. His ear not too dull to hear. His arm not too short to save. He can do the impossible for you. He can do the miraculous. Listen, brother. Listen, sister. Yes, he can. He can do the miraculous for you. And he's come down tonight to do that for you. God's come down. God comes down. Brings his favor, dispels fear, does the miraculous. And finally, God comes down so that we'll put our faith in him. This that the angel reveals, it's unimaginable to Mary, who commentators would tell us is maybe only 12 or 13, 14 years old. In Luke chapter 1, in verse 34, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." How does Mary, 12, 13, 14, even begin to understand that? I would in fact suggest to you that she doesn't. You know, sometimes we tend to think in order to follow God, in order to obey God, in order to serve God, in order to give our lives to God, in order to let God work in us and work through us, we need to know and we need to understand every minute detail of who he is, what his plan is for us, how it's all going to work out. The fact of the matter, when God works the way God works, it's often beyond our ability to understand. Even ever. That's the message found in Isaiah. In Isaiah 55 and verse 8, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, in fact, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher and above your thoughts." For real, it's true. God works in ways that we can't even begin to imagine, let alone understand. And can I challenge you? Can I caution you? If you wait for understanding, you'll likely miss his miraculous work in you, his miraculous work through you. You, in fact, might never then see him do the supernatural in your life. So the issue for Mary isn't figuring out what the angel is saying. The issue for Mary isn't her understanding of what God is doing. She likely doesn't understand any of it. Not anything. Not any part. She couldn't possibly understand. The issue for Mary then isn't that. Rather, it's this. It's for her to decide. Is she in or is she out on faith? Is she in or out, putting her faith in God, believing in him and on him? How amazing, how wonderful, how faith-filled then her response. Look at it in verse 38. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Again, consider the problem of this plan for Mary. Pregnant, out of wedlock. In the culture of her day, she could die. But Mary doesn't make demands. Isn't that what we do? Make our demands? "Sure, God, I'll do that. I'll help you with that, but I need details. God, you need to fill me in on everything." Mary doesn't do that. God, tell me the plan. Tell me how it's going to go. Tell me how it's going to work. Tell me what Joseph is going to say when I talk to him. God, tell me how I'm going to be treated. God, tell me how my son is going to be treated. Tell me the blueprint for raising, for parenting the Messiah. Give me the details, God, and then I'll tell you whether or not I'm in or out on your plan for me. No. No way. Mary doesn't do any of that. Not at all. Mary instead responds rightly, God, I trust you. God, when I can't understand your way or your plan, I can understand this. You are good, and what you do is good. Whatever you have for me, whatever your plan for me, it's good. That's all that Mary needed. Mary responds rightly. And when God comes down, she puts her faith totally and completely in him. Look at it in verse 45. Listen to this. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord said to her will be accomplished. Blessed is she, Mary, who has believed what the Lord has said. Do you understand? The blessing is not in the understanding. The blessing is not in the figuring out what God's going to do. The blessing is found in trusting him to do what you and I could never imagine, even what you and I could never understand. The blessing is in obeying him in his plan to do in us and for us and through us what we could never imagine, what we could never even begin to comprehend. Listen, put your faith in him. Trust in him like that, like Mary did. And it will introduce into your life, just as it did into her life, the power of the Most High God overshadowing you. It's true. It's the message tonight on this Christmas Eve. God has come down. He's Emmanuel. Listen to me now. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us in this room. He's come down to show you his favor. Here, tonight, in this place, in this room, to show you his favor. Before you walk out those doors, you can know. You can experience the favor of God, his excessive kindness, his excessive goodness in your life. He takes away from you and me all our fear. Listen, this is the truth tonight. You have to hear me. No matter how you walked in those doors, you can walk out without fear. But Pastor, you don't understand. There's this, there's family trouble. It's what the doctor has said. Pastor, you don't even know all that's going on in my life. It's true, you're right, I don't, but I know this. His is a peace that passes all understanding. Listen, his is the peace that fills you, that sustains you, that strengthens you in the midst of the most unpeaceful of circumstances for you. Listen, his is the peace that comes, that you can experience, that you can live in when it makes no sense for you to have any peace at all. You can walk out those doors tonight without fear, filled with peace, the wonder of his wonderful peace, because God has come down. He's Emmanuel in the room. He does the powerful, the miraculous, the supernatural. I believe it tonight that he would. You can walk out those doors in just a few minutes. Your life completely changed because of the miracle that God could and would do in you, because God has come down. He's Emmanuel with us right here. Right now. in the room tonight, and he calls us to trust him, to put our faith wholly in him, solely in him, absolutely, completely, and without compromise in him. He does that, all that, because he comes down to this place, to this room. The question really then becomes this: will we let him? Will we let him do all that? It's true, we can be inclined to close our hearts to him, not understanding, not knowing what God could do, what God would do, if we would very simply open our hearts and open our lives to him. Will you tonight? Will you open your heart to the Lord? Will you acknowledge his presence in your life? Will you acknowledge his ability to work in your life? Will you acknowledge who he is and what he can do in you and for you and through you? Will you make tonight of your life a Bethlehem stable? Will you let him come down? Father, would you help us tonight to do that? Lord, whatever would make us to close our hearts to you, would you help us tonight that our hearts instead would be open so that you could come down? Whatever it is that would be the hindrance, whatever would be the doubt, whatever would be the lingering question, whatever would be the demands that we would be inclined to make of you. Not until I have it all figured out, God. Not until you tell me all the details, God. Not until you show me how it's all going to work out and all that's going to happen. When you do that, then I'll let you know. No, God, would you help us that tonight, freely, willingly, joyfully, completely, we open our hearts to you so that you can come down and come in. Father, I pray for everyone in the room that we experience, that we know, that we live in your favor. And Lord, I pray for those that need to know your peace. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around, not even me. This is just between you and the Lord, just between you and him. If you need peace tonight, would you just lift your hand? Father, would you come down and would you dispel from the heart of my brother, my sister, all fear? And would you let peace come in Jesus' name? You can put your hand down. Father, would you come and do a miracle? Heads still bowed, eyes closed. If you need a miracle, would you lift your hand? A miracle. You're in an impossible situation. You need a miracle. No power on earth is ever going to be able to help you. You need a miracle. No one looking around between you and the Lord. Would you lift your hand? Father, would you come down? And in the life of my brother, my sister, would you do a miracle? Would you do for them the very miracle they need from you tonight? In Jesus' name, you can put your hand down. Lord, would you help every one of us in this room to put our faith in you, our trust in you, our confidence in you? Maybe a little more direct kind of question. If you've never put your faith, if you've never put your trust in Jesus, would you lift your hand to him? If you've made demands of God, you sense God is asking something of you, calling you to something, but your answer has been no. God, not until you've told me the details. If you haven't put your faith completely in him and what he's called you to, would you lift your hand as well? Father, I pray. I pray tonight for the one that needs their faith to be in you. They recognize that tonight. God, would you come down and would you be their Savior, their Lord, and their King? And Father, I pray for the hand that's lifted. We've made too many demands. We've been too hesitant. We've been too afraid. Tonight, would you help us? Would you help our faith to increase and to grow so that we can step out into the plan that you have for us? Father, tonight, would you help each and every one? Oh, I pray for each of us in this place that we open our hearts and our lives to you, oh God, so that you can come down. I believe it. You'll change us forever if we would do that. Would you invite him just once more tonight before we conclude? Would you pray it with me? Lord, we invite you to come into our lives and change us forever. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Christmas is the celebration. Oh, that God has come down. He is Emmanuel and he's with us. No wonder we celebrate the season like we do. I pray the celebration is great tomorrow for you and for your family. And I pray the Lord's blessing over you. Would you stand to your feet? Would you extend your hands to receive his blessing this evening? Here it is. On this Christmas Eve, throughout all day tomorrow, Christmas Day, the remainder of this year and into the new year to come, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be good and gracious to you. And the Lord turn to you and give to you his peace. In Jesus' name, would you receive that blessing? Would you say amen? Amen and amen.